the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right. Thank you for being here. I'm clearing my throat a little bit. Thanks. I'm clearing my throat a little bit because it is still cold. I'm broadcasting live out of Chicago. Thanks, everybody, for downloading. Thank you for your feedback on this radio show, on my works, my writings, all that feedback. It helps me to make things a little bit better. Okay. Broadcasting live out of Chicago. If you're not listening live, archive the show. 347-857-1762. Call in or just sit back and listen and take it all in. I have no guests for this for today, so it'll be just me and you. And I want to apologize for those people who listened to the show yesterday and was waiting for my guest. My guest did not show up. It could have been the cold weather. It was cold, cold, cold. I mean, it was cold like a son of a gun. So I'm surprised that the computers didn't go down on me yesterday. It was really cold. I mean, my studio windows, I mean, the ice was thicker than thick. I mean, it was just, I thought the windows were going to break. It was so cold outside. And we were cold inside the studio. It, not because there was no heat coming up inside of the, in here. It's just, it was just that it was just so cold outside. And we managed, but the temperature is going up. It's, right now, they say it's around three degrees, yeah, in Chicago. Supposed to be going up to 18, as if that's some kind of consolation. It's still cold. It's just not as cold. It's not the biting and that riveting and frigid, you know, ice cube cold. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. I'm not as, you know, it is cold, but it's not as cold as it's been in the last two or three, 4 days maybe. I mean, it was riveting, especially in the city of Chicago. And I'm hearing that New York and Washington is going to have at least two feet of snow, if I can say it. Wow. You know, so I haven't heard anything about the Midwest yet, especially Chicago here. I haven't heard anything about snow. Only cold, cold. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, WTTY Radio, Blog Talk Radio. Did I say those call words correctly? WTTT, three T's. WTTTY, I made them up myself, so, you know. So if I say them, I say them. If I don't, I don't. So this is great. This is wonderful. Glad you can be with me. Glad you tuned in. And just sit back and listen and relax. You don't have to call in. You know, that's okay. Some days you can call. Sometimes I will let you call. Some days you don't have to. It doesn't matter. But if you feel like you want to, go right ahead. If you have a question or comment, 347-857-1762. But if not, just sit back, relax, and just have your friends and family listen to George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's fun. It's fun. It's really fun. This is one show where you don't have any commercials unless I make them myself, you know, and I don't like commercials. I listen to a lot of other radio stations, traditional radio shows, and over-the-air radio shows, and most of the time all you hear is commercials. Most of those talk shows that I hear on traditional radio, not internet radio, but tradition. But you know what? Traditional radio is also on the internet. So we're all together in this. We're brothers and sisters in talk show, in the talk show industry, you know. So, but this show has no commercials unless I make them, unless I decide to want them on my show. I have no sponsors. I've had people call and contact me saying if I wanted some commercials on the show, and I believe I turned them down. It was some time ago, and I think I turned them down. But having commercials or sponsored on the show, that's money in my pocket, you know, that's cash. Because I would play, you know, I offer spots on this show. I offer spots to people who want to get the word out about their, you know, book or product or service. I do offer spots on the show. That's no about, doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. If you got something you want to hawk or hook or talk about on the show, hey, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I will allow sponsorship onto the show, you know, because that makes it, I don't know, seem a little bit more legitimate. But, you know, this is your show, my show. If I don't want sponsors on the show, if I don't want commercials tying up every damn thing, even Blog Talk Radio is trying to get me to put commercials into my show here. I haven't decided on that yet. You know, I have not decided on that yet. That is still pending, okay? If I decide to put commercials on the show, it'll be from my own perspective. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Make sure you look me up, hook me up on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio right here. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm starting to get a lot of responses from people on LinkedIn, and that's good. Positive responses. I don't know. I've been on LinkedIn and I've been on Facebook. There is a different kind of demographic between Facebook and even Google. There's a different, when I say demographic, there's a different set of different kinds, a different group or kinds of people that are on those sites. Some of the same people that are on LinkedIn may not be on Facebook. Some people on Facebook may not be on LinkedIn. Seem like LinkedIn is more professionally geared towards professionals, lawyers, doctors, you know, things like that. And Facebook is lean more towards to just people hanging around the house. On Facebook. Facebook is the new pastime for America. First it was baseball, now it's Facebook. Okay. So I see the differences between Facebook and LinkedIn and Google in terms of the people, the kinds of people that are patronizing and belonging to those kinds of social media networking sites. It's different demographics. All right. Let's talk about, I was talking to my son yesterday. I was talking to him about what would he do if he had the power? What would he do to try to change the way of the world? Yeah, I was talking to him. We had, every now and then, me and my son, we'll have these talks called father and son talks. You know, I stop him from doing the silly stuff and I say, hey, come on over here, son. Let's sit down and let's talk about anything. Let's be serious. You know, every now and then, maybe once a week or twice a week, we have these father and son talks that last for maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes or something like that. You know, because I want him, unless I do that, he will not talk. He will not say a word. He will just be playing video games. So I have to pull him off those video games every once in a while. And we had to sit down and have a serious talk about his future and what he's going to do and what he's going to try to accomplish. So I asked him the other day, I said, what would you do to try to make the world a better place? What would you do to try to stop all the shootings and violence in the city of Chicago? He didn't have a clue until I put some of the words in his mouth. But I do think he wants to make a difference out here. I actually do think that he wants to. I want him to make a difference in the world. I want him to help others and to be as smart and intelligent and as bright as he can be, because that's the only way he's going to have people, other people look up to him and listen to him. He has to show them that he is a leader instead of a follower. Right now, I think my son is more of a follower than a leader. But he's working on it. He's working on leadership. We're all working on it. So we have our little fathers and son talks every now and then. And that, I think that's good for him. I think it's good for the both of us. You know, it's good for the both of us. But I always have to put him aside every now and then to find out where his head is. And usually I find out. you know, and he's a great kid. He's a wonderful kid. He's 16, going on 17. He's a teenager. And we know, we all know what teenagers like, and he's all of that. All right. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place. All right, in the news. Yesterday I talked about the Democratic debate, and also there it was Martin Luther King's birthday. I'm going to still dwell on that a little bit on this show. No, it's over. But I always look at this, you know, as the whole month after his birthday is still a celebration because he was such a great guy. Such a great guy. And his dream is being tarnished. Okay, let's move right along. Let's move right along. Sarah Palin has just endorsed. You've heard it. I'm pretty sure you've heard this. Sarah Palin has just endorsed Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump, to be the president of the United States. I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help that. I'm sorry, folks. I just could not help that. It's like the dumb is following the dumber. You know, I mean, but this is great. I mean, this is a surefire win for Bernie Sanders or some Democratic candidate for 2016. And Trump is all, he's all happy and stuff. This lady is a dunce. She's crazy. The majority of American people, they do not like Sarah Palin. Palin is so unpopular, it's too unbelievable. It's too unbelievable. But Donald Trump accepted her endorsement with open arms. With open arms. Sarah Palin has found her next key. Let me say it. Sarah Palin has found her next meal ticket, and that's Donald Trump. And her daughter, Bristol Palin, is all on Facebook, all over Twitter. You're just tired of seeing her, hearing her. Why should people listen to Bristol Palin? Why would anybody listen? And nobody, seriously and literally, listens to Sarah Palin. 80% to 90% of Americans don't like her. 80% to 90% of the Americans think she's dumb. I have this movie here in my collection called Game Change. And it's about Sarah Palin. If you haven't seen it, if you don't want to see it, that's okay. Julianne Moore plays Sarah Palin. And it's great. It's wonderful. But I think that movie is just 1% of who the real Sarah Palin is. I really do. So it's called Game Change. It's a part of a book written by two journalists. So it's about the 2008 election when they were running, her and John McCain was running against Barack Obama for his first term as president. Pretty sure you guys remember that. Sarah Palin, a conservative icon. So why calling her an icon? She is no icon. Believe me. And then there are some media outlets are saying the great Sarah Palin or is endorsing Donald Trump. And just right here they're saying she's an icon, a champion. No way. And that her endorsement is a big, great endorsement. My goodness. A lot of us saying, what? All right. Sarah Palin, they calling her a conservative icon, a champion of the Tea Party movement, what is the Tea Party movement? A bunch of old, white, hateful ass people, racist, hateful people. That's what they are. And they're backing Donald Trump. The Ku Klux Klan, all these hate-filled groups. Even ISIS is probably backing Donald Trump. Remember the video? Okay, she endorsed Republican frontrunner Donald Trump on Tuesday, which is today. I mean, when you archive in this show, it may be another day altogether, but remember, this is Tuesday. Saying in a statement released by the mogul's presidential campaign that she is proud. Sarah Palin is proud to be to back his White House bid, his run for the White House, Donald Trump. She's proud of it. Yeah, yeah. Well, she's licking his boots, folks. That's all she's doing. She's licking his boots. He's a billionaire. She has nothing, of course. And I quote Sarah Palin. I don't even know why I'm talking about Sarah Palin on my show. Everybody, I guess because everybody else is talking about her, and this is leading off the nightly news and the 10 o'clock news, and it's all over the internet and every newspaper, New York Post, Washington Post, Huffington Post, every other kind of post. It's all over the, you know, globe. So when things are all over, when news is all over the globe, then, you know, I have to cover it. I have to talk about it, even if I do not want to talk about it. And I actually think that Sarah Palin doesn't deserve all this press. She's pathetic. But there's a chance, there might be a small minute of a chance that Donald Trump picks her as his vice president, to be his vice president of the United States. I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, just by her endorsement of Donald Trump, Donald has nailed the coffin shut for a Democratic president later on in 2016 and in 2017, January 22nd, when the new Democratic president is going to take the office. It's nailed wide shut. And Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump helped to nail the door shut, the coffin shut on Donald Trump. He is not going to be president. You know what? I kind of like some of the things Donald Trump was saying, even though he was saying them in a uneducated kind of a fourth and at a kind of a fourth and fifth grade level. But you understood him. And actually, I don't think Donald Trump is that bad of a person. But everything has just gone out of the window now that he has accepted the endorsement of Sarah Palin. Give me a break. And I'm quoting her here. I am greatly honored to. Oh, OK. This is Donald Trump. I'm quoting. I am greatly honored to receive Sarah's endorsement, Trump said in a statement first reported by the New York Times. She is a friend and a high quality person whom I have great respect for. I'm proud to have her support. Huffington Post got a byline saying the Confederacy of the Dunces. In other words, there are two dumb people, the dumb following the dumb. And the Huffington Post goes on to say that this endorsement is a major pickup for Trump, who has been struggling to maintain a share of the lead in Iowa ahead of February's first caucuses, as Cruz, a darling of the Tea Party, has gained support and major endorsements. Palin's pickup serves a stinging blow to Cruz, who received the backing of the 2008 GOP vice presidential candidate during his senatorial campaign 2012. Okay, I'm quoting Ted Cruz. I love Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin is fantastic. Boo-hoo-hoo. Sarah Palin is not fantastic. She doesn't, if anybody knows Sarah Palin, most of us do, she is not fantastic. He's licking her boots. What can I say? Without her friendship and support, I wouldn't be in the Senate today, Cruz said Tuesday, minutes before the endorsement was confirmed. He goes on, and so, regardless of what Sarah Palin decides to do in 2016, I will always remain a big, big fan of Sarah Palin. She just threw you to the wolves, man. And all you can do is say, I understand. I don't know. I mean, these people will say anything, act any kind of a way They'll try to appear sympathetic, emotional, caring, when they're not. They're not. Once they get their asses in office solidly, they become someone else. Majority of time when these politicians are out here campaigning, they're nice, they're sweet, they're smiling, they're waving, they're kissing babies, saying that they're going to do anything and everything for us if we both vote for them. We vote for them, okay? Once they get their asses in office, they become bought off by the super PACs, Wall Street, corporations, and they don't know you anymore. They cease to work for you and start to work for the people who are lining their fucking pockets. Excuse my French. Because we have a Congress right now as I speak. As I speak, they are bought off, paid for. Even Hillary Clinton, she's Wall Street. She's Walmart. She's Goldman Sachs. Where do you think she gets her money? Nobody's sending her $10 or $15 or $100 to her campaign like they are doing for Bernie Sanders. We are doing for Bernie Sanders. Congress has paid off. And if a lot of these politicians get in office, especially Republicans, they're being paid off. They're being paid to lie. They're being paid to look the other way. They're being paid to not do what Americans want them to do. They're being paid not to talk about the issues. They're being paid and bought off, congressmen, senators, state representatives. All of these people, most of these people are being bought and paid for. You got a lot of Democrats in the state legislature that are being bought and paid for by the Republican billionaire Bruce Rauner. That's why we can't get anything done in the state legislature. These people are all bought off, bought and paid for. And then they get on television and try to lie and spin their way out of it as if we're the stupid ones because we caught them and they're trying to lie their way out of it, trying to defend that, and it's indefensible. Before they're in office, I mean, if you look at the presidential race of the Republicans and if you look at their debates, all the debates that they have had, not one of them guys talk about the issues. Not one of them. They've had about 6 or 7 debates already, and they're about to have another one, I believe. They may talk about the issues in this upcoming debate, because the Democrats are talking about the issues, and the Democrats are getting positive results from talking about the issues. The Republicans, when they get on stage, as we know, they start going at each other's throat. To hell with America. And these people want to be president? Give me a break. They're bought and paid for. Everybody's bought and paid for except for Donald Trump. That's why Donald Trump gets away with a lot of stuff that he says, and that's why he say a lot of things he say, because he's not bought off. He's not taking money. Bernie Sanders is not bought off. Bernie Sanders is not taking money. Hillary is. She's taking money. As Bernie Sanders noted in the last debate, he said, nonsense. That's not true, Hillary. Hillary's taking money. She always has been. She always has been Wall Street. She always has, from my understanding, she was on the board. She was one of the people on the board at Walmart. And as we know, Walmart pay its employees, most of them, the rank and file employees, pay them minimum wage or below minimum wage. And Hillary had the nerve to sit on the board. And my understanding, in the national poll, she's losing ground, and I do hope that Bernie Sanders get this. We all want him to get this. But let me say this: most of the people in Congress are bought off. The Republicans will never talk about civil rights, gay rights, Social Security, energy, gun control, the American dream, the environment, the infrastructure. They're going to go at each other's throats like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. You know, they're going to go at each other's throats. And it's not funny. It's pathetic, actually, because these people are running for the president of the United States. They're running for a job. They are supposed to impress us, the American people, to vote for them so they can get that job. They are interviewing for the job of the president of the United States. And all they're doing is going at each other's throat. They're not saying what they're going to do for the United States. They're just trying to bump each other off, the Republicans in the Republican debate. And you'll never hear them talk about the issues. You'll never hear that. Because it's not about the issues. It's about them. It's about their party. It's about what they want, not what you want. Bernie Sanders said it, and I have been saying it for a long time, and he said it right there in that fourth debate a few days ago, that Congress is, they're there to do what we want them to do, but they're not doing what we want to do. They're not doing what we want. They're doing what they want. Because they're bought off and paid for. They're doing what the lobbyists want. They're doing what the National Rifle Association wants them to do, not what the American public wants them to do, not what the electorate wants them to do, the people who put their asses there. They're not doing anything. Bernie Sanders said it good. I'm glad he said it because I have been saying it. These people, they don't represent you anymore. They represent themselves. They represent the big money, the corporations, Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, the big banks. These are the people they represent because this is where they get the money from. Bernie Sanders, he gets his money from you, me, them, $10 here, $100 there, $200 there. And he has more money in his campaign chest than Hillary Clinton has, and she's bought off. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Blog Talk Radio, WTTTY. It is fun. It is great. I love it. I love it. I will be right back, folks. Stay with me. Stay with me. There is no commercials on this show. Stay with me. All right, we're back. We are back on the air. Okay, all right. Palin. We're talking a little bit more about Palin. Palin, the former governor of Alaska, who was John McCain's running mate in 2008, has continued to be a popular spokesman for the conservatives, especially social conservative Christians, long after leaving office in her home state. All right, she frequently offers channels. Okay, all right. Has starred in a reality television show. I think that's Game Change. And is regularly featured on guest spots on conservative conventions. Her memoir, published in 2009, sold more than 2 million copies and was one of the fastest selling political books in history. Oh, man, I didn't know that. But I do know that I didn't buy one. I wasn't wasting my money. Okay. Palin endorsement record is mixed, but her backing of Cruz's Senate bid was a major boost to his 2012 campaign. Most of the people Palin threw her endorsement or backing on lost. A lot of the people she endorsed lost just because of her endorsement, just because of it was Sarah Palin endorsing them, and there was no other reason for them to lose. So a lot of people were saying, hey, I don't want her endorsing me. I'm going to lose. All right. Palin and Trump shared a number of similarities. Both have starred in reality shows, television shows, and written best-selling books. Both have made controversial statements that have horrified the Republican establishment while further endearing conservatives to their own cause. Both know how to fire up a massive rally crowd, and both ate their pizza with a knife and a fork when spotted at a Times Square restaurant in 2012. Wow. Okay. In July, Trump said in a radio interview that he would love to have Palin in his administration because she really is somebody who knows what's happening, and she's a special person. She's a special person. She is a special person. If anybody's special, it's Sarah Palin. And now I'm going to say they're both special. They're both ADAD, attention deficit. They're both special children. Yeah. Uh-huh. So this might be, no, the only reason why I'm talking about this, folks, is because other news sites are covering it. So this could be, she could run as his VP, Vice President of the United States, Sarah Palin. If this happens, there is no way in hell. I know the RNC, the Republican National Committee, I know they're shaking, quaking in their boots at this couple right here. They don't like Donald Trump. They think Sarah Palin is a dingbat, but this is what they got, and this is what they're going to get. So this is a surefire win for the Democrats. Majority of the people of the United States, they can't stand Sarah Palin. They think she's a dingbat. They say she's a dingbat. I mean, she is a dingbat. I've seen her and witnessed her in interviews throughout her career. And she's a mess. She's a total mess. She's like Hillary Clinton in a way. You ask them a question, they don't really answer it, or they just don't answer it at all. They pivot to something else instead of answering the question that was asked. And I hate that in a politician. I really despise that in a politician or anybody. If I ask you a point blank question, I expect an answer to that question. I don't expect you to talk around that question, above it, below it, beside it. I expect you to tackle that question head on and answer it. But you know what? I think politicians are taught not to answer questions, especially if they're on television and being asked that question by a moderator or anchor person, news person. I think they're just told by whoever's handling them, if you don't know a question, if you don't know the answer to a question, say something. And Hillary Clinton is very good at that. I mean, she's campaigning all the time, every day, pivoting, not answering questions, talking anyway. When someone asks her a question, she starts talking, but never answering the question. I mean, that was prevalent in the last debate when Bernie Sanders looked at the moderator and said, Hillary Clinton didn't answer your question. And she was just this, and then camera shot to Hillary, and Hillary looked as guilty as hell that she talked for about a minute, but actually did not answer the question. And Bernie Sanders brought up some issues that I have been talking about on this show for a long time. How Hillary Clinton doesn't answer the questions when she's asked. She talks around the question, above the question. And how she is so much Wall Street, taking money. She's bought off and paid for. And one of the other things that's important is one of the reasons why I don't want Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States. Because she kind of admitted in the last, or maybe she did admit straightforwardly and literally that she was running for Obama's third term. And I do not want an Obama third term. I really don't want an Obama's third term. Okay, hold on, folks. I have to take a break right here. Let me see what we're going to do. Okay, let's see. We're going to take a break right here. I'll be right back.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
We are back. Thank you. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I don't have a guest right now. No, we don't have a guest on the show right now, but we will have one in the near future, okay? Because a lot of the guests, they've been calling and canceling. And, you know, I'm thinking it's the weather, but I've always say that people have things to do. And things happen unexpectedly. So a lot of times I have to reschedule guests to be on the show. I love having guests on the show because I love the camaraderie of guests being on the show. And it's a great thing. It's a great feeling. It's wonderful. It is wonderful. I want to play the assassination of Martin Luther King, the clip, because it was so stirring yesterday. I've got a lot of feedback off of it. And I want to play it one more time for you out there. This is the assassination. This is just a clip. The assassination of Martin Luther King. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. April the 4th, 1968, Memphis, Tennessee, 6:15 p.m. U.S. civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King is rushed to hospital after being shot. He's badly wounded. At the time, King is a towering figure, known throughout the world for his inspired direction of the U.S. civil rights movement. But in his high-profile fight to win more rights for America's black community, especially in the Deep South, King has also earned the undying hatred of a cabal of violent white extremists who despise him and all he stands for. They see him as a threat to their way of life. They want him out of the way. But would they go so far as trying to get him killed? April the 3rd, 1968, Atlanta, mid-morning. King flies to Memphis and checks into the Lorraine Motel. He's come to lend his support to a group of black city sanitation workers. He's been behind them since February, when they went on strike demanding better pay and conditions. Now King is determined to get them a good deal. That evening, King heads for the Mason Temple, where he gives a typically powerful, yet strangely prophetic, address.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
It will become one of King's most famous speeches. But it sounds almost as if he'd received a death threat. The son of a preacher, Martin Luther King Jr., was born in Atlanta, Georgia, on January the 15th, 1929. By the time he's 24, King is himself a preacher, working at a Baptist church in Montgomery, Alabama. 2 years later, Montgomery would become known throughout the world when, on December the 1st, 1955, Rosa Parks, a 42-year-old black seamstress, refuses to give up her seat on a bus to a white man. Under what are known at the time as Jim Crow laws, she's arrested, charged, and eventually fined $10 with $4 costs. This case causes outrage, not just in the southern states, but throughout the country's entire black community. And in Montgomery itself, King decides that his people have been pushed around enough. The Rosa Parks incident being the latest in a long line of similar humiliations and violence. He organizes what becomes known as the Montgomery Bus Boycott. It will last 13 months, during which time black people steadfastly refuse to use the city's buses. The issue is finally resolved on December the 13th, 1956, when the U.S. Supreme Court rules that Alabama state and local policy on segregation is unlawful. 7 days later, King takes a ride on a bus, sitting at the front in seats previously reserved for whites only. By now, he's a national figure. A firm believer in nonviolence, he spearheads the country's rapidly growing civil rights movement under the umbrella of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, more commonly known as the SCLC. A passionate and powerful orator, he works ceaselessly and tirelessly on behalf of the black community. Meanwhile, as King's stature steadily increases, a man is sitting out a prison term in Leavenworth, Kansas. James Earl Ray, an habitual criminal, has been in and out of various prisons most of his adult life, since being discharged from the U.S. Army in December 1948 for what was described as ineptness and lack of adaptability for military service. However, the army gave him something. It taught him how to use a rifle. Ray's life could scarcely be more different from that of King. But one day in the future, they will come together in dramatic circumstances. In 1961, convinced that the civil rights movement is being infiltrated by communists, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover gives orders to tap King's phones and keep close tabs on him wherever he goes. The surveillance would continue for the next 6 years. August the 28th, 1963, Washington, D.C. King leads a march through the nation's capital calling for jobs and freedom. Earlier, President John F. Kennedy had opposed the march, thinking it would impact negatively on civil rights legislation. But in the end, he's persuaded to let it go ahead. Despite Kennedy's earlier misgivings, the march, involving around 250,000 people, passes off without incident. And that evening, King, standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, delivers an address which electrifies the nation.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
The speech consolidates King's already towering stature. Even President Kennedy, shortly to be assassinated himself, congratulates him. But there are those, particularly FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, who, alarmed at King's success, wish to discredit him. July the 2nd, 1964, the White House, Washington, D.C. Martin Luther King arrives to witness an historic event. The new president, Lyndon B. Johnson, signs the groundbreaking Civil Rights Act. At a stroke, racial segregation is outlawed throughout the U.S.
This Civil Rights Act is a challenge to all of us to go to work in our communities and our states, in our homes and in our hearts, to eliminate the last vestiges of injustice in our beloved country.
But a great many Southern diehards regard the act, and King's part in it, as the ultimate betrayal. Now they're faced with the unpalatable fact that the Civil Rights Act makes black Americans their equals in the eyes of the law. And the one person they blame above all others, Martin Luther King. He now encounters growing hostility and violence wherever he goes. His life is in constant danger as tension mounts. December the 10th, 1964, Norway. King's considerable achievements are, however, recognized elsewhere when he's awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. April the 23rd, 1967, Missouri. A man escapes from the state penitentiary in Jefferson City after serving 7 years of a 20-year sentence for robbing a grocery store. It's James Earl Ray. April the 4th, 1968, Memphis. James Earl Ray, giving his name as John Willard, checks into a boarding house on South Main Street. The Lorraine Motel, Memphis, early evening. Martin Luther King is standing alone on the balcony of his room while his companions gather inside. Little does he know, he's being observed by a man intent on killing him. Suddenly a shot rings out and King collapses. The Reverend Samuel Kyles recalls the tragic event.
And when I looked around, all I could see was the lower half of Dr. King's body, because it threw him back into this, beyond this point. And when I looked, I just saw his leg, his foot was on the rail. He was lying in this position. And I distinctly remember looking at him. I don't think I touched him. I looked at him. And I remember, you know, it's sort of like you get a complete look in one moment. And I remember the necktie, the knot of his tie had been severed, just cut, and was laying open. There was a tremendous wound right here where the bullet went in.
A team of medics get to work on King, but there's nothing they can do to save him. He's just too badly wounded and dies less than an hour later.
Wow, that was very powerful. It was totally powerful. The assassination of MLK, Martin Luther King, on the George Wilder Jr. show for Martin Luther King's birthday, which was yesterday. Actually, it was last Friday, but they celebrated it on Monday to give people to give people a chance to celebrate it and, you know, to take off work and all that kind of stuff, kids out of school. So it's always dramatic every time I hear that. And I probably will not play it again because it's so dramatic and it makes me emotional, kind of. And a lot of the things that Martin Luther King fought for and even died for have been spit on, kicked to the side. We've got a long way to go. We've got a long way to go. We have a long way to go, and we have to do this ourselves. We can't expect others to do it for us. We want something. We want things to change. We have to get out there and do it ourselves. We can't sit back and say things need to change and not do anything. Because if you don't do anything, nothing will ever change. It will either stay the same or it will get a lot worse. I keep telling people we have the power to change things in America. But if you sit back, do nothing, and hoping that someone else is going to do it for you, it's not going to happen. You've got to get out there and make it happen. Make your voice heard. Make your ideas seen and recognized and utilized. You've got to do it. I tell my son this all the time. If you want to be a leader, you want to change, get out there and change it. You're not going to get anything changed by playing a video game, watching Family Guy. Nothing's going to change for you or for the world or for your peers. You've got to be the first one to get out there to do it and bring along your peers. Bring along your peers. Because this world belongs to the youth. This world belongs to young people. It's a new generation. My generation is old and gone. People around me are dying off. You know, this is a new generation, and they have to get out here and do something to take this world back. Take it back. You don't like the way things are going? Throw their asses out. Don't sit back and take it, because if you sit back and take it, it's just going to get a lot worse. Things need changing. Change it. You take the lead in wanting to change it. Convince others to follow you so you can change it. And let those you convince the others that they might know. Numbers, I mean, you get the numbers out there. There's nothing anybody can do. The numbers change things. Protesting, arguing. Do something. Do something. You want to see this world change? Make an effort to get up off that couch, put that cigarette down, put that can of beer down, get off that corner, stop chasing them girls, get out there and do something for your country. Put that wine bottle down and go out and get a job and change your country for the best. Now, one thing I can always say that the United States 2016, we have all these governors, white governors, Republican governors down in the South, and they're wreaking havoc on African Americans, poor, struggling African Americans. Well, how did these governors get in these offices, governorship offices in the South? Because African Americans and people of color did not vote. You didn't get your butts out there to vote. And now you're suffering like I don't know what, because you did not get out there and do your duty. You did not vote. Do not let that happen again. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I was just given something, and it's saying that young people are not – this is different. We're moving along, okay? They're saying that young people are not interested in driving cars anymore because of the vast amount of technology. But they're saying that young people are not interested in cars anymore. I mean, when I was young, I mean, I was 16, 17, 18. I mean, all I could think about was getting my hands on a car, getting behind a wheel. That's all I thought about. But nowadays, 2016, they're saying that teens aren't interested in driving. They're not interested in owning a car. Now, that's going to hurt the auto industry. But as of now, the auto industry in the United States is doing damn good. And I'm pretty sure they do not want to hear that teens are not interested in driving or buying a car. But I'm here to tell you right now, most teenagers do want a car. They want to drive. They want to go around. They want to get in a slick car, drive around their friends and let their friends see their car. One of the quickest ways you can get a girlfriend is having a car. Believe me, I know. That's one of the quickest ways. Everybody wants to ride. Everybody wants to be seen in your car. Everybody wants to be seen being driven in a great-looking car. There's no doubt about that. But one of the reasons they say to why a lot of teenagers aren't interested in buying a car or owning a car, we have too many computers. Especially iPhones and smartphones and iPads. A lot of this is taking the glare away from driving a car. Secondly, teenagers can't find jobs. They cannot find jobs. And however, if they do find jobs, they find low-paying jobs where they can't even afford to even buy a car. Technology is just running away with itself. Video conferencing. That's playing a reason to why a lot of teenagers do not want cars. And the biggest reason might be that a lot of teenagers are just not interested in cars. They've lost interest because of all the runaway technology. But I'm pretty sure there are some teenagers out there who want to drive. Even in some high schools, they don't even give drivers education anymore. But I'm thinking it must be probably budget. Oh, some high schools don't even offer it anymore. My son is in his sophomore year of high school, and I was thinking he was going to have driver's ed this year, but maybe next year. I have no idea. I'll have to teach him myself. If that's the case, you know, I kind of believe some of this. I can't put my finger on all of it, you know, but I do know that it's really hard for some teenagers to get jobs nowadays. It's totally hard. And the jobs that they do get, they don't pay enough to buy a car, you know, because a lot of times car notes can be very, very high. Cars are very expensive. I mean, cars are loaded with everything now. They're Wi-Fi, computers, phones. I mean, it's got, they got everything in them now. They're very, very expensive. The only way some teenagers can afford to buy a car, even me, is to win the lottery. And that, you know, is not going to happen to some people. So, you know, it's really rough. And I thought I'd just share that with you guys. And, you know, if you want, you can research it a little bit more. But it has some merit. Believe me, it has some merit. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, WTTTY. I think it's about 18 degrees in Chicago. It is 7:03 straight up. And you know what? The robots are coming. Robots. They said the robots are going to be here in within 5 years, taking everybody's job, right? So what are you going to do when the robots come? Take your job. And they say the jobs that the robots are going to be taking will be office jobs, clerical jobs. You know, so I'm thinking that the robots are going to be taking more jobs than the office and clerical jobs. You know, anything that we can do, the robots are going to be able to do. Why are they getting robots? Why are country going towards robots? Because robots do not take breaks. Robots do not ask for raises. Robots do not get tired. Robots do not talk back. Robots cannot be fired. They can be taken apart, but they can't be fired. You got to oil them or whatever. But it's getting scary. America, it's getting scary. You know, a lot of people think they're out of work now. Just wait about 5 or 6 years from now. You're going to find more people out of work because a lot of employers, they're not going to need you anymore. They're not going to need you anymore. They're going to be saving a lot of money. And don't forget about the jobs that are going to go overseas with Obama's blessing. Don't forget about that, Obama and Hillary's blessing. So in 5 or 6 years from now, you think you're going to tighten your job now. And on top of that, so many of these Republican governors around the country and maybe even the Supreme Court, these people are trying to bust unions. They're trying to break unions. And if they bust unions and break unions and everything becomes a right to work in the workplace, it's going to be really devastating because busting unions means that, you know, you won't have any safety net in the workplace. They can fire you, lower your wages, kick you out of the door anytime they want. You know, so you think it's bad now. It's coming. It's going to get worse. And I would suggest that a lot of the young people out there prepare themselves for it. Research, study, get smart, and don't let yourself be caught up in this. Prepare for it. It's coming. It's inevitable. It's coming. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, straight out of Chicago, live. Thank you for archiving the show. Thank you for listening, downloading, and all that kind of thing. And thank you for your feedback. I get a lot of feedback on this show. Okay, we don't have a guest on the show. I am your guest. And I don't think we're going to have a guest tomorrow. I think she canceled for some reason. We had Jennifer Cummings to be on the show tomorrow. I'm going to try and reschedule her for the 27th on the show because she has something interesting that she thinks we all should know. So she should be on the show. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY, on Block Talk Radio. And I am actually looking at Facebook right now on one of my screens. And just about every time I scroll up or scroll down, there's something here saying Sarah Palin endorsing Donald Trump, you know. Oh, my God. It says Bernie Sanders here opens up a 60-33 lead against Clinton in New Hampshire. That is one of the biggest leads ever. You know what? Hillary Clinton brought this on herself. She brought this on herself. If she loses Iowa or New Hampshire, it could resonate around the country, and she will lose the election like she did in 2008 against Barack Obama's first term. So it's saying that Sanders opens up 60-33% lead against Hillary in New Hampshire. That's got to be great for Bernie Sanders supporters. He's knocking her out of the water. He is spanking her real good. He will wind up being the next president. And I think Bernie Sanders has a bigger and better chance of knocking Donald Trump off than Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is weakened. They're talking about she could be indicted for her emails. The federal department is saying that they found more classified emails that's even more damaging. So she could be indicted. So it would be best if she not win. I mean, she could be, if she's indicted and she winds up running for president, she may have to wind up resigning or getting impeached. One of the two. But that's great news for all those Bernie Sanders supporters that he is knocking the hell out of Hillary Clinton, and she well deserves it because all she did was lie about his health care programs, and other things. She's just lied and misstated. She's bought off, you know. So that's great. I'm going to have to click like on this. I like this. I may have to share it. I think I'm going to share it. I think I'm going to do that. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'm going to take a break right here because I'm going to be jumping up and down because I think this guy is just, I think he's awesome. I think he's going to take this. Be right back, folks. All right, we're back, and I just a minute ago I told you that the robots were going to be taking over. I have a clip here, but first of all, the good news is for Bernie Sanders fans and supporters is that Bernie has opened up a wide margin in New Hampshire against Hillary Clinton. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has opened up his widest lead yet over rival Hillary Clinton in the crucial state of New Hampshire, according to a new poll released today. The new poll out this afternoon shows that Vermont lawmaker Bernie Sanders, with a whopping 27% lead over former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, 60-33%. That a climb of 10 percentage points for Bernie Sanders. Great. Since mid-December, and a drop of 7 points for Hillary Clinton. It marks Sanders' highest support and widest lead in any poll in any state so far. His popularity in the state is also sky high, earning a 91% favorability rating among the Democrats there. A shift comes despite the Clinton campaign waging an all-out blitz on Bernie Sanders. That has to be, that is overwhelming news. As you, especially for me, as while I'm on the air talking, hosting this talk show, and great news come out while you're definitely on the air. That's great. That's wonderful. And it says here, Sanders narrows Clinton national lead in new poll. He's creeping up on her national lead. Could that be because of Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump? People don't like Donald. I mean, people do not like Sarah Palin more so than they do not like Donald Trump. Nobody wants to see Donald Trump and Sarah Palin in the White House. And nobody really trusts Hillary Clinton. She's lost her trust. People tried to trust her. They wanted to trust her because they did not want to see a Republican in the White House. I was even willing to vote for Hillary Clinton if she got the nomination. But I'm hoping now that she doesn't get it. She's such an untrue person. I've had people say, George, do not be bashing Hillary Clinton. Because if you bash Hillary Clinton, you're playing into the hands of the Republicans. That's a lie. The only person I want to see that most of us wants to see in the White House 2016 is Bernie Sanders. That's it. That's it. Is Bernie Sanders. And he's making strides. Hillary Clinton is so vile. She is so untrustworthy. She's taking money. She's bought off. She's Wall Street. She's lying left and right on Bernie Sanders. She's trying to smear him. She brought her daughter out to help to smear him, if you saw the video. And everybody thought that was totally appalling. They felt that Chelsea was a pawn in her game, or in her and her husband Bill Clinton's game. So Bernie Sanders is on his way. I'm going to be positive about this, and I want you to be positive about this. I'm probably going to lose some listeners over this. I may lose some friends over this. But I'm a Bernie Sanders fan, and I'm going to be ringing his bell. I mean, I'm going to be, you know, acknowledging his praises. Because he is going to win. Hillary, I'm going to tell you something. Hillary Clinton looks desperate. She's saying, God damn, I can't believe this. This old man is beating me. She said, damn, I'm going to lose this thing again. And she is. She is, because she's lying and trying to smear Bernie Sanders. And everybody, anybody, even in the world of social media, the networks, the corporations, they're saying the same thing, that Hillary's just lying on Bernie. Bernie's a decent guy. He really is a decent guy. Will he get everything done as he says he wants to? It could happen if people get out there and vote. November 2016, you cannot only vote for a president of the United States. You have to vote for your congressmen and senators also. Let's say if Bernie Sanders is voted into office as president and becomes president 2017. You also have to vote for your senators, and you have to vote for your House of Representatives. Your congressman, you have to give Bernie someone to work with. I mean, if you give Bernie a Republican Congress, it'll be like Obama. He'll just be obstructed. Republicans are not going to let Bernie get anything through because they're not going to like him. They're not going to trust him. They don't want him. So if you're going to vote for Bernie, also vote for a Democratic senator and a Democratic congressman. We can't not only just take the White House back, we have to take Congress itself back. Because right now, Congress is ran by the Republicans on both sides of the aisle. The Republicans run the Senate and they run the House of Representatives. And we know how quacky and dumb and stupid some of them are. They're all bought off. They're all paid for. Super PACs. They're all bought off and paid for. We have to vote people in there who will not become bought and paid off. We have to vote people into Congress that's going to do right by the people of the United States, do right by America, not vote in people who are going to turn their backs on the people of America and don't give a damn what we think, don't give a damn what we say, blow us off when we bring up concerns. I wanted to talk about this Rick Snyder from Flint, Michigan, how he and his cohorts poison the residents of that state, of that city. There's people in Flint, Michigan calling for the governor's head. In the debate the other night, Bernie Sanders said he should resign. Hillary Clinton didn't say anything about this. Bernie Sanders had enough nerve to say that this guy should resign because they were trying to tell him that this something was wrong and he wouldn't listen. I mean, that's a politician for you, not listening to the grassroots people. They don't want to listen to you. Mayor Emanuel, they don't want to listen to you. And you put their asses in office. They blow you off. But this guy, this Rick Snyder, if I'm getting his name right, he's the governor, Republican governor. He changed the river water from some other kind of water to dirty water, in essence, to try to save money, from what I'm hearing, to try to save money. And now 10 people are dead. Other people are, they have diseases, all kind of diseases, lead's coming from the pipe or something to that effect. So Flint, Michigan is in a flux right now. Everybody's calling on for the governor of Flint, Michigan to resign. And I don't blame him. He should resign. He looks sick because he failed to heed the call that it was something wrong with the water. Before all this happening, he was saying that there was nothing wrong with the water. There's nothing wrong with the water. When people were trying to tell him something was wrong with the water, him and his henchmen were telling people, going on television, there's nothing wrong with the water. All of a sudden, 10 people die. All of a sudden, the environmental protection agencies of that state examine that water to be poisonous, lead-based water. And now the governor of Flint, Michigan, the governor of Michigan and the mayor of Flint, Michigan, they're scrambling like hell to try to find a solution to this, to try to stop this. It is rampant. There's lawsuits all over the place in Flint, Michigan. And most of those lawsuits are directed straight at that damn Republican governor. This is why I say we got to get these Republican governors out of those governors. Trying to get this guy, trying to get these the police to lock up the governor of that state of Michigan. There'll be more on this tomorrow. I will be on the when we're on the air tomorrow. There'll be more on Flint, Michigan tomorrow. I'm going to try and educate myself a little bit more on it so I can be a little bit more thorough. But the topic of the day is Donald Trump being endorsed by Sarah Palin. And remember, I talked about robots. I have a, and they were saying things like there was going to be robots taking everybody's job in four or five years, and that's not far. Okay, that's around the corner. Here's a clip. Okay.
Now that there's tons of very easy-to-use pieces of accounting software being released, the previously secure occupation of accountant is starting to look more and more at risk of being automated. Small businesses often prefer to save money by using bookkeeping programs rather than hiring an expensive accountancy firm. And while the human element is still required for certain financial decision-making, advances in AI may eventually allow computers to efficiently make these choices for us, eradicating the need of those in the profession. Oh, imagine that! You have a computer telling you whether or not you can afford to have a Twix. Yes, my accounting is quite basic. While the technology still has a long way to go, the dawn of the driverless car could mean the eventual loss of many driving-based jobs. Taxis, buses, trucks, those who make a living ferrying people and cargo around in vehicles could one day have their livelihood taken from them. It's promised that these driverless machines will be safer, cheaper, faster, and more reliable than their human counterparts, but some would argue that this comes at the cost of many thousands of jobs. In the US, more than 1.1 million secretaries vanished from the job market between 2000 and today because of software being produced that replaces the tasks which were once the sole job of the secretary, such as taking calls and organizing meetings. It seems this occupation is a dying one. Even the familiar sight of receptionists welcoming visitors at a front desk is disappearing, replaced by technology such as touchscreens that inform staff of a visitor's arrival. I, for one, can't wait until we have proper robots welcoming people. Come in, sir. Welcome. Have a cup of tea. All right, they'll probably talk better than that, but I'd prefer it if they didn't. We haven't got to the stage where Terminator-style cyborgs are patrolling malls and college campuses. As crime prevention technology advances, though, the need for foot-patrolling security guards is going to decline, which means we're not going to have Terminators walking around saying, "Hello, sir, finish your tea and get back to your house." I went a bit Irish there. Anyway, we're going to have different things here. We've got AI cameras that will be able to recognize suspicious behavior and inform the police of, you know, suspiciousness. Then new facial recognition software that will be able to identify known criminals. And there may come a time when human security guards just become a thing of the past. Silicon Valley recently unleashed a series of 5-foot Dalek-like robotic guards to protect local areas. These autonomous machines can spot.
All right, we'll have more on robots in America. And that's an important topic, an important issue, because it's coming. It is really coming. So we'll have more on that tomorrow on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, here we go.
Love me.
We're just about off the air.
Okay, you are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.